active Buddha is not Sambhogakaya Buddha or Nirmanakaya Buddha or Dhammakaya Buddha or the Buddha of the other enjoyment body. It is neither acquired enlightenment nor original enlightenment. It is neither the apprehension of one's nature nor that of emptiness. None of these Buddhas can ever equal the active Buddha. The active Buddha, hesitating to use this translation, active Buddha, but I don't know what to say. If you use the active Buddha, I think emphasis is focused on the Buddha. Gyōbutsu, according to the term Gyōbutsu, I don't think it emphasizes on the Buddha, but on activity or practice. If you say Butsu Gyō, Buddha practice at that time, in this term, emphasis is focused on Buddha. Buddha practice, Butsu Gyō. Like Za Butsu, sitting Buddha. If you say sitting Buddha, no, it's not like this, excuse me. Butsu Gyō is anyway. Butsu Gyō is put the emphasis on the Buddha, not the practice itself. But the Gyō Butsu put the emphasis on practice, not the Buddha. But if you use active Buddha, well, do you understand? The active is already adjective, so subject is Buddha. Subject is Buddha. So very naturally, you can put the emphasis on the Buddha, but according to the term Gyōbutsu, I don't think we put the emphasis on the Buddha, but on practice itself. Just like a zabutsu, sitting zazen, sitting Buddha. Zab means sitting. Buddha is, butsu is Buddha. Zabutsu. But this zabutsu is to put the emphasis on the sitting itself, not Buddha. Not Buddha. So very naturally, zabutsu means killing Buddha. Zabutsu means killing Buddha, means Buddha disappears. So only the sitting as a practice is existent independently, but Buddha support. For instance, if I say Katagiri, so all my life anyway disappear, you know, past life and present life, future life, and disappear, and my position or then months anyway disappear means it doesn't appear on the surface, but it all are with me. But practically, what I have to do is, as a practice, all I have to say is, yes. Take one answer, yes. This is a practice. So, if I say that again, yes, that is a practice. At that time, all are disappearing. So, yes, Karagi. Yes, Karagi. Yes, Karagi. Yes, Buddha. Yes, Buddha means not Buddha appears. Okay? So that Gyōbutsu is exactly practice. It's a gassho, that's enough. And zazen, that's enough. Kinhin, that's enough. This is a job. Okay, this is a job. But if you translate acting Buddha, meaning is completely different. Do you understand? So, scholar translated this, the yogutsu, as active Buddha. It's completely different. I say active Buddha, but it doesn't mean that, okay? In Chinese is very interesting. Chinese use two letters as a one, okay? For instance, body, mind. In English, we say body and mind, okay? Or bread and butter. You don't say bread butter, you know. Bread and butter. But in Chinese, we don't say bread and butter. Bread butter. So in Chinese, we say body, no and, no dash. So body, mind, because they are one. They are one. But they are two, because body and mind are there. Okay? But it's exactly one word. So that's interesting. There are lots of terms there like this. But in Japanese, a little bit complicated, because in Japanese we say body and mind, a little bit. We say lots of articles there. So hiragana, katakana, lots of articles there. But as much as possible, even in Japanese, we use that term, body, not and, okay, body, mind, directly. So if you read the Shobo Genzo, the Dogen Zenji uses Chinese directly, because it's pretty good, directly, you know. If we translate Chinese into Japanese, a little bit, you know, there is a complicated structure comes up, because we use lots of articles, you know. Karagiri wa, wa is article. Karagiri wa, the karagiri loves dog, means already, you know. So, karagiri wa, and death, you know, something like that, the verbs. So, lots of things, but in Chinese, very direct, you know. Karagiri, love, dog. No articles. So very direct. So it's a very interesting term. That's why Dogen Zenji uses very often this strictly and directly using Chinese letters without translating into Japanese. That's important for us too. So same applies to Gyo Butsu. Gyo practice and Buddha. They are two. But not there too. Anyway, Gyo and practice and Buddha are one. Anyway, that's why one word, Gyo Butsu. Okay, one word. So if you say practice and Buddha, that too, exactly. Or practice dash Buddha. So also, you know, separated. They are separated. So it's pretty hard to translate it. So you should know these difficulties when you translate it into English and from Chinese, or from Japanese anyway. So one word is it's very important for us. So I don't know how to translate Gyo Butsu. Well, even though you say practice in Buddha, it's not good enough still, because there is the in. A little bit, it's sort of a dash, you know, between the practice and Buddha. Well, Butsu-gyo is represented as Buddha in action. But it's still in action. So it's pretty hard to translate. But Buddha in, the practice in Buddha is a little better than active Buddha. So maybe so. Practice in Buddha, so-called Gyo Butsu. I don't know. Anyway, practice Buddha, okay? So particularly, we put the emphasis on practice. And Buddha is hidden behind practice. Practice becomes independent completely. Buddha constantly support behind as a background. Anyway, this is a practice, our practice. Okay. So this yoga is not the Sambhogakaya Buddha and Nirmanakaya Buddha, Dhammakaya Buddha, etc. Okay, we don't understand this meaning, but let's say that is. According to science, everything is understood in terms of the law of causation. From this point, your understanding must be very clear and clear-cut and no doubt, you know. But actually, we cannot understand human life just in terms of science point of view, scientific point of view, support according to the law of causation. Okay. So then naturally we can find the a way to live to get the freedom of intention or will, or that we have freedom of intention means to have a chance to get the freedom of alternative. But in scientific world, there is no alternative because cause and effect. It's very clear. If you do this, that comes up very exactly indispensably. Okay, no excuse. So it's very clear. So according to law of causation, the human life is understood very clear cut, very clear cut. So there is no freedom of alternative. Should I go this way or that way? No, because everything is based on the law of causation. So then we cannot understand human life like this. Because in the reality, of life, there are lots of alternatives to do, to take care of human life. So very naturally, we need the freedom of alternative, will, intention, will, our will, freedom of will. Okay. But in a scientific world, intention is completely, what would you say, inevitability, no excuse, Okay, well, but in moral sense, there is a freedom of intention. Do you understand? They're a little different from between the science and the morality. Okay, morality. So you cannot understand the human life completely according to scientific understand view. Okay? Because we need a freedom of, intention. Well. So then naturally in the moral world, there is freedom of will, human intention. So that is the freedom of alternative. You can do anything. The with awakening, you have to do, you try to figure out a way how to live with the people, with you, with him, with the society, anyway, with awakening. This is a moral world, moral way of life. But in the world, in the realm of alternative, you know, world, there are always two things, and then you can make a choice of one, okay? But in the realm of alternative, there are always two. So if you make a choice of one, the other is always constantly with you, okay? So even though you make a choice of good, evil is always with us. This is the alternative world. Do you understand? Alternative world. That's why it's very difficult to be comfortable, to peaceful. Because if you make a choice of good, simultaneously there is evil there. So evil is constant with you means there is a possibility. Constant, you have a possibility constantly to do something wrong. Even though you make a choice of right, still there is a wrong. So that is an alternative world, moral world. That's why very naturally moral world requires you, well, to take your life according to what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Okay? Always there is a you should do it, you shouldn't do it. Okay? That is the moral standard. The standard or criteria of the moral world. But religious world is a little different. Religious world is completely different. Not the religious world is not the placed under restraint of criterion or standard or rule, so-called what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Okay, it's not completely it's not like that. It's not moral world. That means, I told you before, religious world is, human life, which you are completely driven to the corner of urgency. Okay. Do you understand? This is religion. This is a good practice anyway, this is a religious life, religious spiritual life. Even though you don't understand, everyday life is just like this. Because consciously or unconsciously, you really seek for the truth or peace or harmony. Even though you don't know what it is, constantly you do. But it comes from, that spiritual life comes from where? Moral sense? Morality? A sense of morality? No. It doesn't come from freedom of alternative. Okay. No alternative. You have to make a choice of one, in one. No two, one you have to do. So even though you don't know you want to do, just I do this. Okay, I do this. Even though you don't know, you really try. If consciously or unconsciously, this is just one choice, not alternative, okay? This is a religious life. For instance, when I was high school, I practiced glider. Primarily, the glider I used, I was trained by a glider for beginner, okay? which was completely different from glider you can see now. Okay? The glider you can see now is flying in the air, pulling by the airplane or car, etc. You know? Do you understand? That's a fancy glider, right? glider for the beginners is very simple gliders. No protection from the airs, just open, the control levers here in front, moving front and back and left and right, just from this lever, and also feet is on a stick, and moving like this. That's all. And holding the one beam in front of you, you should hold this and hold control lever like this. And then just fly. It's really scary. In the beginning, while I was trained for a while in I tried to find a way to keep the balance, so always how to handle the control level anyway. So to the minimum, the teacher gave me the how to use the control level, control stick, How to use, how to move your leg, So that's all. And then practically, you have to, anyway, get taste, practically, a way how to control, how to keep the balance of the glider. Okay. So that's pretty hard. Anyway. So in the beginning, I was a little bit frightened. But, so before, we practice day by day. 5 days a week. 5 days a week. Anyway, practice constantly. Every day. But when my turn came, I was a little frightened. So before I sit on the ladder, I make announcement to the teacher standing in front of him and say, next turn is Kalagi, Kalagi, etc. like this, at the very strict way anyway. So he said, he gave me the how much you have to fly and etc. And then a few points I have to take careful. I have to pay attention to my practice. And then he said, okay, and then I sit on the seat. Yeah, that time before I sat on the glider, I always chant the name of Antares because no choice, no alternative. So, but should I go? Should I escape? But I cannot escape. Should I be skeptical of my practice? No, I cannot be skeptical of my practice. Even though my practice was immature, but I can't be. So all I have to do is keep my shot. Anyway, sit down there. So before that, I can see that my practice, a little bit objectively. So I can see the very intense urgencies, a little bit objectively. At that time, I can have a little space to do something, so I can chant the name of Amitabha. So I always chanted the name of Amitabha because it comes from my parents, Parents constantly chanted like this. And I have to went through the certain procedures, there. And almost 20 students pulled the rubber rope, rubber board, and the end of rope hooked and tied with gliders, center of the glider is like this, so hooked like this, and the rubber, two rubbers dichotomized like this, and then 10 students here, and pulled rope, rubber rope. It's very big rubber rope, Almost 20 steps, or in the beginning, just 5 or 10 steps. And just a sliding, you can just slide. But if you pull the 30 steps, it's huge, and you can fly in the high. But anyway, And then I have to say what is the destination. I have to make clear where I should go. So I have to tell the teachers what is my destination. So I say my pine tree in front of me, okay, pine tree far from there. Okay, so one pine tree in front of me. And then they started to pull the rope and then let go. Gravity, go up, that's it. So no pine tree. There's no pine tree, see, because gravity go up, that's it. So I saw the pine tree over there straightly, but when the gravity started to move, immediately the pine tree disappeared. This is very interesting, you know. So right before gravity start to move, still I can have a little room to see intense emergency, you know, which occurs in my life. So I completely, anyway, no way, no alternative to go anywhere. So just sit down. So I should depend on something, okay, not my intentions, okay. Well, my intention, emotion, and intellect all become zero. Anyway, become zero. Otherwise, you know, if you have an intention, I should move the control levers like this. When something happens like this, you can't say so. I don't understand. You cannot handle the emergency case like this. And also emotion, you can't be fear. You can't create constantly fear. And also intention is no intentions, because no alternative. So my intellect, emotions, and the intentions completely return to zero. Okay. And then let go. That is really let go. Before let go, well, still my intellect and also emotions and intentions still there. And then when gliders start to move, three of them are completely turned to zero. And also, at that time, it's pretty interesting. But that point was that intellect, emotion, intention return to zero, but it doesn't mean they disappear completely. Because I and glider, all were in the realm of zero. Okay? Realm of zero. But in the realm of zero, I have to do something anyway. I have to do something because glider was moving and I was on it. So, in the realm of zero, I have to take care of myself, but that is not by my intention or intellect or emotions, because emotions and intellect and the intention become zero completely. But I have to do something. There is a complete zero, but I have to do. That is completely glider, and also air, and pine trees, and all circumstances, everything, all are completely moving anyway, interconnected interpenetrations. The wind, and the sometimes wind blows very gently, but we don't know. Wind sometimes blows very quickly, you know, all of a sudden. So, what should I do? My intention, or emotion, and intellect, anyway, strangely enough, operates. But not by my effort. Just according to what would you say? Condition of glider, condition of wind and weathers and the peoples, etc. Anyway, that's what teaching or Buddhist teaching says: emptiness. Okay, everything emptiness means so we have to. Anybody returns to emptiness anyway. Otherwise, I cannot do anything perfectly. So what is the emptiness? Emptiness is complete zero, nothing in it. No, it's full aliveness of existence means, anyway, you have to do in the realm of emptiness. And then at that time, in intellect, emotions, intentions, works, not according to your desires, according to conditions. So, what is emptiness? And according to teaching, conditioning is co-interdependent origination. So everything is produced by countless number of conditioned elements. So intellect, emotions, intentions work well in accord with function of co-interdependent originations, conditioned elements, which are constantly changing, you know, changing constantly. So at that time, intention and intention, emotion, intellect works pretty well, but not by your, you know, by your desires. It really works, but not by your desires. Okay. At that time, this is called Jobutsu anyway. Practice. This is our practice anyway. In the realm of complete intense urgency. You completely become zero. You have to become zero anyway, and then at time your intention and emotion and intellect works pretty well, not according to your small shallow viewpoint, but by conditioned elements. It's really work. That's why at that time, in the religious practice, particularly in Buddhist practice, there is no alternative, because your body and mind are exactly right in the middle of intense emergency. So only you can make a choice is one, only one. This is the emergency case. And then in order to make a choice of the one, and you have to do it there. You have to do something there. In order to do something there, you have to all three things, the emotions, the intentions, and the intellect, becomes there. Silence. But in silence, you cannot keep silence. Most of the cases, we become confused and upset because one choice. So we are confused. Okay? Very confused. We don't know what to do. In the daily life, always happens like this because lots of choices in the life. So we don't realize there is no alternative. The real human life is completely no alternative, but we don't realize. We always see the lots of choices. Lots of choices. So when you really are face to face with no alternative case, at that time, most of the case, we don't know what to do. Okay? Completely upset. But this is a real reality. This is a real life in reality. So, that's why we have to practice constantly like this. So Zazen, sitting is really to put you in the realm right in the middle of intense emergency. Okay? No excuse, no alternative. So all you have to do is, so that's why, well, don't use your intention, don't use your emotion, don't use the intellect. But I don't mean that you should ignore, destroy. It works only when they become zero anyway, and just be there. And then at that time, how do they work? Just, you should tune in. You should be in accord with the conditioned elements, what they're changing. So your mind go away, you know. So at that time, you adjust, you correct. If your posture, physical posture is wrong, adjust, correct. If your breathing is something wrong, and you know, just let's see, have a very usual breath. And if you feel pain in the stomach, and it's not necessary to have a very strict breathing, pushing the breathing, you know, to go down to the lower abdomen. Anyway, let's be your body and mind must be in accord with the conditioned elements anyway. So we don't know how, but this is a very important. To the minimum, we should know the information, how to control, how to keep the balance of the gliders. Then, strictly speaking, you have to learn the real way how to keep the balance of the glider is something you have to learn through the actual practice. So that's why practice. That practice is really right in the middle of the intense urgency. At that time, that's why Dogen Denji says, yesterday I read, you know, Dogen Denji says, if we say that mind is plants and trees, and no plants and trees to the mind, and if it says that the Buddha is tiles and pebbles, believe that the tiles and the pebbles themselves are Buddha. If you go on changing your original convictions, you should find the way. So, well, we are always using first our intact emotions and intentions first. That is, you are practicing in the moral world. At that time, always you have to face. You have to be face to face with the alternatives. Should I go this way? Or should I go that way? But you know, it's not practice, you know. It is not real practice. If you want to take care of your life like this, well, why is it that you have to practice Zazen? Okay? Through the Zazen, through the Buddhist practice, we have to anyway get taste of what religious spiritual life is. You have to learn what is intense urgency. What is intense urgency? We have to know this. That's why Buddhism always emphasizes the problem of life and death is most important. If you don't know, this is really miserable. Okay, miserable. The monks asked Zen master, what is the most miserable thing in this world? He says, if you don't realize the problem of life and death, it is the most miserable.